Loving God, open our hearts to hear your word. Set our hearts on fire with love for you. Stir our hearts to do your work in the world. Amen. Born in rural Japan in 1763, Kobayashi Isa is considered to be one of Japan's greatest haiku masters. He wrote prolifically. And his work is characterized by its incredibly positive and affirming tone, which is remarkable given the seemingly unending stream of personal tragedy he endured in his life. The untimely deaths of parents, children, even his wife. If anyone, he had a right to a dark view of the world. Yet somehow, he didn't succumb to this. Instead, he found reserves of hope within himself. Not long after the death of his second child, Isa wrote this haiku. "This world of dew, a world of dew it is indeed, and yet." How resonant is that cry? And yet, Isa acknowledges that loss, that darkness, is a fact of life. Our world is impermanent, ephemeral as the morning dew, yet the darkness also is fleeting, scattered by the light of our God. Time and time again, we hear it repeated in Scripture. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John opens his gospel with, "What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." We hear it from the psalmist. Psalm 139 says, "If I say, surely the darkness will cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you." In the first verse of Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid?" And in that famous passage from the prophet Isaiah that we read each Christmas Eve, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep, deep darkness, on them has light shined." Throughout our scriptures, throughout our lived experience as followers of Jesus, there are times of profound darkness, times of loss and grief, times of hardship and oppression, times when we cannot understand the world around us nor see the way forward. And yet, for some of our beloved brothers and sisters, the darkness is overwhelming. The fog is so dense that it defies belief that it might ever dissipate. Whether because of the tragedies of life, or mental illness, or some combination of both, the light of God's love seems impossibly distant. The high-profile suicides this week, Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain, have prompted a much-needed conversation about depression and mental illness, and how we can best support our loved ones who are in pain. It's a conversation that we don't have nearly often enough, especially in the church. Mental illness is confounding. At times, it can seem inexplicable, and treatments are complicated at best. So it can be uncomfortable to discuss it. We feel awkward because we don't have easy answers. So we avoid the topic altogether. And as a result, the people who most need to be reassured of our love, our support, of God's love, might feel shame and a sense of stigma attached to their illness, and have even more difficulty sharing the ways in which they are struggling. So what do? We talk about it. We share our stories. For years, I struggled with depression and anxiety that was often crippling. Began in high school and college. It made no sense whatsoever. I was an excellent student, successful by any measure. I had a loving and supportive family. But there were many days when I just couldn't get out of bed. The prospect of interacting with anyone, even the people I loved, of pretending that I was marginally functional, was overwhelmingly exhausting. But for a long time, I couldn't even articulate what was wrong. It wasn't until I was working as a resident advisor in college and I received training about recognizing the warning signs of depression in my residents that I thought, huh, something's not right here. I was lucky. I was surrounded by people who loved and supported me. Friends who checked in on me, who called when they didn't see me at a meal, who held my hand as I called to make an appointment with a therapist. My parents never wavered in expressing their love in words and actions. They didn't blink when I called and told them that I couldn't pretend anymore and I needed to leave school. They just got in the car, packed up my things, and moved me home. I can't imagine how difficult it must have been for them to try to understand my suffering, to be unable to fix it. But they walked alongside me, reminding me time and time again that I was loved by them and by God. I am lucky. Through a combination of medication and therapy, the fog began to lift. I began to experience the joy of living once more. But it was still several years before I felt fully myself again and could bask in the light of God's overwhelming love for me. Mental illness, suicide are not going away. And not talking about them because the conversation might be awkward just contributes to shame and stigma that are attached to them. So what can we do? How can we help? Reach out. Show up. It's what Jesus' family did in the gospel for today. They heard that something was wrong, that he was out of his mind or possessed by a demon. And they showed up. The greatest gift we can offer someone who is struggling is the ministry of our presence. You don't have to have answers. You don't even have to reassure them that things will get better. You just have to be there. Tell them you love them. Ask them if they want to talk. Offer a hug or a shoulder to lean on. Get them outside for a walk. Drive them to therapy. Be willing to acknowledge your own limitations and know what resources are out there for professional help. If you're not sure about resources, there's a list in the narthex. Show up for our friends and neighbors whose lives have been touched by suicide. Remind them that you love them and that you're there. You won't solve anything yourself, but perhaps you will offer even a glint of God's love in the midst of someone's darkness. Jesus is the light of the world. Come to earth as one of us so that darkness might be swept away, driven out by that light. But darkness doesn't go away entirely. We all face times of difficulty, times of doubt, times that challenge the values and beliefs we hold most dear, times in all of our lives when we wonder where on earth God is. And yet, God's promise to us is that even in the depths of darkness, even when we can't see it, the light is still there, shining brightly, and the darkness does not, will not overcome it. There will still be those among us who suffer from mental illness. We still might lose loved ones to suicide. But through it all, we can remind one another of God's awesome, unconditional love. And we can be reminded that none of us is alone. We're all in this together. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our beloved companion on the road of life, is the light of the world. And as we together follow him, we will never truly walk in darkness, but we will have the light of life. This world of dew, a world of dew it is indeed. And yet,